Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Mishlei Perek Chav Ches, the 28th chapter of the book of Mishlei. We're closing in towards the end to the 31st Perek, and let's try to appreciate this Perek in context. It's 28th chapter, it has 28 psukim, and roughly divided into five sections, although really each pasuk stands by itself, but they're general groupings as the Da'at Mikra puts it together, as Rav Yehuda Kiel suggests. So the first four psukim are really mishalim dealing with leaders and rulers, and the underlying assumption is that real security will be found in those who are righteous and who are anchored in truth. So that's the first general section. The next few psukim from Hey to Yud, from 5 to 10, are seekers of Hashem and doers of evil, and what will actually happen to such people. The next section, the third of five sections, is 11 to 17, Yud Aleph to Yud Zayin, and talks about strong rulers. And one of the keys over here to success is humility. Being humble is the way that a person is ultimately going to succeed. The next small section, the fourth section, is 18 to 20, Yud Ches to Chof. And in this section, the person who is innocent in the Avodas Hashem is described in contrast to those who are corruptors of their path. And the basic underlying assumption is that faith in Hashem, that Emunah, is the only way to succeed. So we're seeing different attributes accentuated in each of these four sections. And finally, the last of the five sections are Chof Aleph to Chof Ches, are Mishalim, are parables to judges, like Haker Ponim Loitov, Va'al Pas Lechem Yifsha Gever, person who recognizes others is not good. So the whole discussion about from the perspective of judges. What we're going to do is we're going to pick out four psukim. Of course, there are many more. We could look at the other 24 as well. But just for the sake of now, we're going to look at four of the psukim and appreciate them in a little more depth. Pasuk Tes. This comes in the second section and reads as follows. Famous pasuk, actually. Meisir oznoi mishmoya Torah, a person who turns a deaf ear to Torah, to instruction. Gam tefilaso toevo, his prayer is also an abomination. What does that mean? Why, if I'm not learning Torah, is my tefillah hurt? The Ralbag explains that if a person doesn't have enough Torah study, then their tefillah too will also be deficient. The prerequisite to a good tefillah is studying the Torah. If you don't know what you're doing, you don't know why you're doing, you don't understand the different nuances, then you're just doing something by rote. You're saying words which are meaningless, and it's going to be missing. There's going to be deficient. We should spend time understanding what we're saying in order that what we're saying makes more sense. That's all that Ralbag says. However, the Shlach HaKadosh digs a little deep, and he says, you know those kind of people, when they hear the beginning of Devar Torah and they think they've heard it before, they automatically say, I know it, and they, you know, they give a nudge and a wink, and they kind of turn their mind off. They heard it already. We know that one, Rabbi. We heard that Devar Torah. Well, in such a case, Gam Tefillah Asa Toevo, then also their tefillah suffers from that kind of attitude. Because you know what? The funny thing is that they themselves were saying the same tefillah yesterday, and the same tefillah the day before, and the same tefillah the day before. If there's no space for nuance, for creativity, for new ideas which are developed within the same words, then how is their tefillah operating? We have to realize that in finite words, there is infinite depth. Therefore, if we hear the same idea, we don't hear it the same way, because the person who's saying it is different, because the circumstance is different, and because the experiences that we've had between then and now are different. And therefore, I have a different level of access through the same words. And that's the same way that tefillah operates as well. Very powerful idea, how throughout our entire lifetime, we can plumb more and more and more depth out of the same words. And that's the same idea of Torah and tefillah. That's what the Pasuk seems to be indicating. Very powerful concept. We move on to Pasuk Yud Dalad. This Pasuk is a very beautiful Pasuk. And it reads as follows. Asher Adam Mefached Tamid. Happy is a person who is always scared. Umakshe Libo Yipol Bara. But a person who hardens his heart will fall into misfortune. The Gemara Brachos Daf Samach Amud Aleph asks the basic question. Wait a second. Is it always good to be scared? On the one hand... That the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Pachtu v'tzion chataim. Those who were worried in Zion were sinners. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't. There's a distinction. When it comes to Divrei Torah, when a person is learning Torah, when it comes to matters of Torah, that a person does not want to forget, a person doesn't want to lose their edge. In that case, Asher Adam Mefached Tamid. Praiseworthy is a person, when it comes to spiritual matters, to always be concerned. When it comes to earthly matters, then a person can be a little more lax about it. I once heard a Rebbe of mine, Rabbi Yosef Kritz, once used to say a very beautiful idea, and he says that a lot of times people, when it comes to their their financial portfolio, they're very concerned. They want to make sure they're looking at the markets, they're looking at the stocks, the long range. They're seeing how different environmental changes are going to impact the markets. They're very careful about how they invest, how they're taking for the IRA, for 401k. They're very careful about how they're investing. When it comes to spirituality, they say, it's all right. I'm sure things will work out. I'll become a better person. My kids will grow up to be all right. Our house will be a place of Torah. It'll work out. So it should be the other way around. When it comes to one's spiritual portfolio, it doesn't just happen. A person should be worried. A person should be checking the spiritual markets and seeing how one can improve. How's one going to make sure that one is not going to be losing at the end of the day, at the end of the week, and the end of the month? When it comes to the physical matters, that's where one person should be able to be just a little more lax. Okay, we'll do the best we can. We don't need to be checking everything all the time. We don't need to have that on the home screen, that app which is showing us the trends. It's all right. There'll be a little more space. That's perhaps the shift which needs to happen, and that's what's being established in this Gemara over here based on our pasuk. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov says that what's at the depth of this pasuk, again, the pasuk is the Ashrei Adam Mefachid Tamid, is that praiseworthy is a person who's always scared, is that if a person really, really believed and really understood in their heart of hearts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, was in every place of this universe, surrounded and was pervading every element of the universe, and whenever they davened in front of them, the Hashem, they would realize that it's not about just getting to the carpool afterwards, not just about getting gas and getting the kids. It's really about being in front of Hashem, and a person would be scared all the time, a person would be in a state of anxiousness because one realizes the magnitude of the impact of their words that they can be having. That's what Rabbi Nachman says we learn from here. We move on to Pasuk Chav Gimel. Pasuk Chav Gimel says, Moichiach Adam Acharai Acharechein Yimsa. Mimachalik Loshon. A person who gives rebuke to another person will in the end find favor than he who flatters him. It's better to give rebuke than to flatter another person. The Malbim says that when you withhold the truth, when you try to save people from the truth, and you think you're doing them a favor, ultimately you're not doing them a favor. They're going to end up facing the consequences of their actions, and because you were there and could have helped them and didn't help them, you ultimately are contributing to their failure. It sometimes is hard to rock the boat and to say the things necessary to be said, but if you do it, you ultimately help them in the end, even if it's painful for them to hear it. Rabbeinu Bechai, at the very introduction of Sefer Devarim, quotes this pasuk, and there's a whole long essay on this, and he says, but let's be honest. Truth be told, people aren't interested in hearing rebuke. No one's interested in rebuke. He quotes a number of Gemaras showing this. He says, look, in a regular audience of folks, you have a congregation of folks, everybody has different ideas. Keshem shepneim eino dama zuluzul, just as nobody's face is the same, so too their psychological mindsets are not the same. So therefore, speaking to an average crowd, if somebody gives a musar to that crowd and gets up and says, you should be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that, half the crowd is going to say, you know, I really need to do that. And half the crowd is going to say, what an idiot. How could they be talking to me like this? Who do they think I am? Do they know my history? Do they have any sense of who I am? And so therefore, in an average crowd, nobody's ever going to be able to affect or impact a person. However, the Rabbeinu Bechai points out that the pasuk does not say that a person who is moichiach to other people will be successful immediately. It says, moichiach adam acharei chein yimtza. Afterwards, they'll find grace. Which means to say that sometimes one has to do what's necessary. One has to mention to people that things aren't right. Even though when they are mentioning it, most people are saying, it's not about me. It's not me they're talking to. And because later on, sometimes those words can be the residue on the heart at the right time to be able to sink in. They say the joke about the Magid who comes to town and he gives a fire and brimstone lecture. He goes into the middle of the town, and everybody's there and everybody listens to it and everybody walks out and they go, wow, did he give it to them? Whew. So that's the truth, is that, says Rabbeinu Bechai, it's hard to reach people. However, when one does, acharei, at the end, there will be chen yimtza, they will find grace because that was always meant to happen. And finally, the last pasuk we're going to focus on today is pasuk Chav Zayin, the 27th pasuk, and it reads as follows. Nosein l'rosh ein marsar, u'ma'alim einov rav me'erois. A person who gives to the poor will need nothing, they will want not. But he who shuts his eyes will be roundly cursed. So ironically, when you give more, you get more. When you give less, you lose more. Rashi says that this may be referring to money, as in staka, meaning if our attitude is to be miserly about our staka, we'll lose more. If we are more free with our staka, we will get more ultimately in the end of the day. But Rashi also says, in parentheses, he says, V'chein harav she'eno moneh Torah mipiat Talmid. We're not just referring to money, we're referring to other assets in life, energy, time, teaching, experience. There are people who are so concerned about their own portfolio that they're not willing to give their time, their energy to others. They're so concerned about self-preservation. Well, ironically, those who are concerned about self-preservation will end up losing what they gained. And a person who's a little more free with their time, a little more free to help other people, even though they may not have enough time themselves, ultimately, that kind of person will, in the end of the day, be blessed and never be in need. So four psukim we looked at, another 24 too as invited in, but this at least gives us a little bit of taste of Perek Chav Ches. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.